If you're a busy woman raising children and you want to learn to reverse engineer how you want to feel in all areas of your life, listen up. For the first time ever, I am teaching my energetic time management process. Not only am I teaching it live, but you're getting one-on-one access to me. Yes, you heard that correctly. You can reach out to me personally and get feedback on how this process is working in your life. So head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/workshop. As soon as you register, you are going to get a pre-recorded training video that you can watch over and over and over again that also has an accompanied PDF, step by step. I'm literally showing you step by step. You're also going to be given the details to reach out to me one-on-one and my team so we can support you as you're integrating this work in your busy schedule. And we're also going to be throwing in 2 live group Q&A calls. So come ask your questions. I'm going to show you how to integrate energetic time management, not just at home, but in your work as well. Ask all your questions and I'm there to help you live in alignment with how you want to feel. Head on over to heatherchauvin.com/workshop and join us live today in May.
Okay, guys, I'm back. So today I have a unique and special episode for you. I did an interview. I'm going to be doing more of these. I'm getting a lot of podcast pitches for people to come on my website, but that's not the reason why I'm doing it. I really want to connect with people who have an inspiring story to tell. So I'm hosting this series. It's called The Courageous Rewrite. It's kind of their mess to success story. It can feature men and women. It's people who have taken a tragedy in their life and turned things around. So depending on who they are and how open they are, we're going to kind of pull back the layers of like, how did you actually cultivate and create this change? Against all odds, how did you become who you are today? So today I have Christine Egan and I'm going to be interviewing her in a minute. And I'll be introducing her, telling you about how we met and all of that fun stuff. Before we dive in, I just want to give you a few updates. So if you haven't checked out my website yet, it's Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com. It was recently updated. So I have all the freebies for you there. Super easy to find. The Teach Your Kids to Meditate conference, which is a free conference that I hosted with 17 game-changing speakers in the mindfulness world. So if you've been interested in meditation, teaching this to your children, but more importantly, you know, connecting in this world of like, I don't understand what my child's behavior is telling me. How can I, you know, be of service to my child? Those are game-changing interviews. So that's free for you. Just go to my website. I also have the Plan the Life You Crave blueprint. This is something you can download immediately. It's kind of like a step-by-step how-to guide, a PDF on like, oh my gosh, I want to create change, but I don't know where to go. The Time Freedom Challenge, the Mom is in Control Challenge. Do not overwhelm yourself. But all of those free resources, are for you at my website at Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com. Okay, cool. Also, if you've been listening to me, I want to talk to you. If you're looking for a mentor, coaching, you're like, is the Mom is in Control Mastermind for me? I don't know. I just need one-on-one. I don't know what I need. I'm so overwhelmed. Let's chat. I've opened my my calendar next week to create space for women like you who are ready to cultivate and lead the life that they truly crave. So go to my website, heatherchauvin.com/take back control, or you'll find it on my website as well under the work with me. Fill out that short application and then you and I will get on the phone somehow if it's a right fit. No obligation, but there is absolutely nothing that drives me insane more than somebody who sits there twiddling their thumbs and says, I can't, I don't know how, I'm so overwhelmed. I've asked so many times for help and I just can't find the right person. The whole purpose of life is joy and ease. And every day our life in the universe is totally trying to knock us away from our center, right? We have relationships, we have jobs, we have careers, we have children, we have neighbors, we have weather, everything, everything. The universe, the energetic force is constantly trying to say to us, and it knocks us off our truth. So it's all about coming back to who you are, to your center, to your joy. Don't give up, guys. And I think you're going to be inspired by today's podcast. So let's dive in.
There we are. Okay.
Maybe.
All right, everyone. Facebook, we are doing a live Courageous Rewrite interview series. I'm going to be talking about what that is in a second. But we have the beautiful Christine Egan with us, and I'm going to read her little bio. She is a healthy living advocate, author of The Healthy Girl's Guide to Breast Cancer, part owner of the non-toxic cosmetic brand Life on Mars, which I've totally seen on Instagram, which is really cool. She ran a half marathon after ending 33 radiation treatments and a full marathon to celebrate her remission. Today, she leads the Redefining Healthy movement, teaching women around the world how to feel healthier in their bodies. After losing 15 pounds, finishing cancer treatments, or quitting their dead-end job, Christine has appeared on national and local news, Yoga Journal, Better Homes, Garden, and Live Happy Magazine, and she is giving talks to major brands as well, and you can find her at redefining/healthy.com, and I will put a link above, and I'm really excited. Christine, I don't even know how we met, or we were connected by somebody. And I mean, we've chatted a long time ago, and I don't even, was this after I had cancer?
Yes, it was. It was soon after. And it was like just reaching out to a fellow cancer survivor, mm-hmm. just is almost like letting each other know it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And it's funny because I think the attraction is you're not being a victim to your story, to the circumstances. And that's part of what this initiative is, the whole conscious rewrite. What did I call it? No, it's not conscious rewrite. It's courageous rewrite. Because the work I've been doing with women and families is about going, okay, this is the shit that's happened to you. This is the pile of crap that you're in right now. But what do you need to do to feel the way you want to feel in your life? And I think, you know, it's always easy when we look out there, we go buy those self-help books of like, you know, 150,000 reasons or 157 million steps to find happiness. And what works for me is not going to work for you.
Yeah.
But I'm always just curious to pull back the layers of like, how does some people go, you know, shit's happened to me and now I can feel joy, I can feel ease, I can feel gratitude. And then others are still stuck in it. So that's kind of what I want to offer to the world. But yeah, let's get started. What is your perspective on this? Because you wrote the book on The Healthy Girl's Guide to Breast Cancer. But I'm sure you've evolved a lot since that process as well.
Well, I think one of the biggest lessons I learned after writing the book was talking to women around the world. And regardless if they had cancer or not, they were all making the same comments that health was something that was like up in this atmosphere that was not quite theirs yet, and always putting it off, always putting themselves off, or delaying feeling really healthy, delaying feeling really good, because they were letting all these other things get in the way. And it's exactly what we're talking about, like helping women feel healthy right now in their life when everything could be falling apart, right? And, you know, that saying positive things and doing positive things for yourself is a difficult choice, but not making that choice to me is more difficult. Mm-hmm. So that's what people say to me, like, oh, if I just choose to be happy, things will fall into place. Well, no, things won't fall into place, but I might be in a better space while I'm handling those crappy things that might be coming down on me.
Okay. So I'm over here giggling and laughing because, I don't have time to get healthy. right? It's a belief system. I have time to get healthy because I've shifted that. But that's what I hear a lot of, you know, my health is suffering, but my children need me. My husband needs me. You know, the cat needs me. The mailman needs me. Everybody needs me. And I don't have time for this shit. So yeah. What does that mean? And how did cancer shift that perspective for you?
Well, I think that how cancer shifted that for me was, you know, there's only so much energy to go around when you're undergoing cancer treatments. And if there's only this much energy to go around, it's going to go around to things that really matter to me, which would be my family. So when you are only given X amount of time per day to feel well enough to interact with people, I'm going to choose the people that I want to interact with the most. And I think that's what has, you know, transpired, you know, 7 years post-cancer of, listen, and it sounds so corny, but it's the truth. Every single day is a gift. How do I want to use it? Do I want to be flustered and frustrated going through the day? No. So it's a mind shift. How can I change that right here, right now? What do I need to do in order to feel better about the situation I'm in? And what do I need to do to get there? So right before you and I went on, I was having trouble logging in and all I was getting was this spinny, a little round, thing that said it was logging in. And then I was starting to log out and then re-log back in and log out and log back in. And I was starting to sweat and I was starting to like the story started, right? Christine, you are inept. You can't, you know, get on this interview. Christine, Heather is going to think you are the biggest loser because you're not here on time. People are going to think I'm, you know, not, you know, caring and making this serious in my life. And here I am blowing Heather off for 20 minutes. But it was like, no, I can't get on. It's like, stop, take a deep breath. Yeah. None of that really matters. We're here having our conversation. Nothing really happened because I couldn't log in for 20 minutes. It's all good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's being able to take that deep breath and say, it's all okay. The universe has my back. It's all going to work out.
Yeah. I think that's really important too, because a lot of times people perceive, oh, you meditate, you do yoga, you know, it's the outsider. It's the perception, right? Of like having these lenses or like, oh, you must be nice and all of these things, but it's about being able to cope with life when these things do come up and you're observing and watching the story in your mind. So I want to go back to the moment, and I don't know about you, but the more time passes for me, I'm very disconnected to the emotions of how I felt when I was diagnosed. And a part of it is just because I don't live there anymore. But do you remember a time in your life when you were like, I'm going to die, or having that sense of I'm going to die? And I'm projecting my own shit onto you. But having that fear rush through your body, and this is common for a lot of people. What do we do? How can we still feel in control of our lives and create our new future when it's like money, time, energy, and you're just paralyzed in fear of worst case scenario?
Yeah. So, after I did my surgery, my lumpectomy to get part of my breast removed that had the cancer in it, after I had had the port put in and started chemotherapy, about the third session in, third treatment in, one morning I woke up and my arm was all swollen and it was like hot, and I knew that there was something terribly wrong with it. And I couldn't get a hold of any doctor. You know, when you're undergoing cancer treatments, you're under the care of like five or six different doctors. And I could not get a hold of any one of them, you know, to get on the phone with me immediately and tell me what to do. So I had my husband, who was, you know, by my side saying, it's okay, we'll figure this out. Like, something is wrong. We'll just keep going down the list and calling the doctors. Well, I was in the most panicked that I had been since being diagnosed. I thought for sure that I had a blood clot. The blood clot was going to travel. I was going to have a stroke and I was going to die. Like, I was so convinced that something terrible was going to happen to me. And as it turned out, I wound up with a blood clot, but I had to give myself shots to thin my blood for the next, I think it was like 6 months after that, every day, to be sure that it didn't happen again. But it was the first time that I was really, really scared. Mm-hmm. And I was scared because I felt alone. I mean, my husband was there, but I felt like nobody else was there with me. And I really did feel like a patient for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I was so conscious about while I was undergoing cancer treatments, that I was not acting like a patient, but acting like an empowered individual who, you know, had a say in everything that I did. And this was the one time that I felt like I really didn't have a say in what was going on. I was under the care of somebody else, and it was really uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. So what do you do in those moments when you're like, okay, it's uncomfortable? We live in a culture where it's push away from the pain, right? Push away from the discomfort. Don't invite it in. We need to numb it. We need to push it away. So what do you do when you're in those uncomfortable moments?
Yeah. Well, you live moment to moment, and moment to moment meant to me that I was safe at this moment. I was not in pain. I was a little uncomfortable, but we'll figure out what the next steps were. So it was very conscious living in that moment, not projecting and creating all these stories. So it was like, I allowed myself to have that one big spin out. My husband, I remember this distinctly. We were standing in the kitchen and he like grabbed my shoulder and he's like, you are going to be okay. Like, we'll figure this out. Like, stop, you know, inventing these stories that something's going to happen to you. Mm. And, what, you know, definitely having somebody like that in my life to like snap me out of it definitely helps. But then it was also, you know, he had a leave for work. So I had a friend with me take me to, get the sonogram done on my arm and on my neck to be sure that I was okay. And then it was a waiting game. And we waited in this pizza. I remember this. So it was like the radiologist was one end of where I live, north, south, on one end of the island. And my doctor was on the other end of the island. And we sat in a pizza place for like 3 hours, halfway between both places, in case I was called back to either place. A friend of mine just sat with me for those hours, and we just hung out and waited for a call to say what the next steps were.
Hmm. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable. But you know, yeah, it was uncomfortable, but I'm okay is really the bottom line, right? So it was like, yeah, it was a horrible situation, but I'm okay now.
Yeah. Yeah. What have you noticed pre, and it's funny because I'm even watching myself right now wanting to resist talking about cancer. Like it's such a big, you know, when you've created your whole brand around something that happened to you and then you're like, but it doesn't define me. Right. But knowing that people are in it, knowing that they're there. I'm just like, it was something that happened to me. It doesn't define who I am. What are you noticing? Because it's just a life transition, right? It's like, okay, of course my phone's going to go off. This chapter closes, the next one starts, right?
Yeah.
What do you notice with who you were before and after? Like, what is the biggest shift in your life that has occurred?
Well, I'll say a couple of them. The first one would be self-care, which is what we were alluding to right in the beginning of our conversation. We were talking about what it means to be healthy and what we hear from so many women saying, you know, I don't have time to be healthy. Well, I think it takes time for women to really understand what happens when we take care of ourselves first, how much of a better wife, mother, friend we are to everybody else when we take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I could talk about that all day long. We can give examples, we can give stories, but until someone really understands it for themselves and starts making those realizations for themselves, do they start to understand, okay, now I get it. Like, yeah. I haven't been snapping at my kids. I'm not yelling at them 24/7. I'm a much better attentive spouse And, you know, I'm not talking crap about my friends. Like, I seem to be on a higher level. And those are all side effects of what happens when we start taking care of ourselves first.
Right. And so you noticed that big shift.
That was the number one shift.
So was getting sick permission? Like, why? Why do you think that shift was?
I think it went back to, like I said, only having this much amount of energy and space and really choosing the things that I wanted to spend my time and energy doing.
Yeah.
I think it became very evident, right? When you're not feeling well, or you know that you have to give your body an opportunity to rest so that it can heal itself. If you only have so much of that energy available, it's really going to go toward things that you really want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Danielle Laporte's desire map was huge. It came around the time when I was diagnosed, and I remember reading it and going, how do I want to feel right now? I want to feel alive. I want to feel strong. And I'm like, okay, what does it mean to feel alive? Well, right now I'm pretty much like 90% like dead. Like my soul is hanging on for dear life. And how can I feel alive right now? I can laugh. I can, you know, go for a walk. I can connect. And it's an interesting duality to be able to sit there with the discomfort, the pain of like uncertainty, and yet feel gratitude at the same time, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the, how I start off my book is saying, and this is how I really started my cancer treatments, was that I was a healthy individual before, and I'm a healthy individual even though I have cancer. And I really kept that mindset of being healthy, being healthy, being healthy. And maybe that's why that whole arm issue with the blood clot really threw me for a loop, is because I felt like everything else that was happening to me made sense to me. You know, whether I was feeling lousy or whatever, I could still be in that mindset of being healthy. But when I had that blood clot, that was right. The one thing that really took me off that healthy track. And thank goodness it only took me off that healthy track for like a matter of hours. It wasn't like weeks. It wasn't days. It wasn't months. It was like literally, you know, a matter of hours until I found out that I was okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, every day I use that mantra.
So what's your perspective now on self-care? Like, I'm sure it shifts, right? Like the healthier I become, I'm like, oh, I can slip on this. I can slip on that. What keeps you going? What keeps you like craving, to continue the journey of putting yourself first?
Because I know what the results are. I know when I'm starting to be honest, it's the same things. I know when I start being crabby to my family. Mm-hmm. I know when I start, it's almost like I start feeling run down. It's like, okay, stop. Something's off. Have I overbooked myself? Have I said yes to too many people? Have I not been eating the way I know I should be eating? Have I been outside? Have I had downtime? I mean, they're post-cancer. One of the other, it falls under self-care, but I realize I need downtime. Like I need to decompress. Mm-hmm. I need solitude. I need to be in nature. And it's still a little bit of resistance, to say yes to all that. But I know that I reap the benefits. So for example, we just flew, went down to North Carolina, last weekend. I knew to take Monday off because I know I don't do well flying. I know that we were rushing around. So I know it's okay for me to take Monday off and just regroup.
Yeah. And so part of this is taking back control of how you want to feel in your life, right? Putting up boundaries, saying, no, thank you. You know, this doesn't work for me. And, sometimes the consequences are that of, you know, we teach people how to treat us. It could be our children, our spouse, if you have employees, if you have clients, and, you know, you put up these boundaries and saying, hey guys, if you want this to be sustainable, like I can't do this anymore. And that's going to trigger their shit. And they're going to project that onto you of like, no, I need you all the time. You were always there for me. What do you say when women say this to you? And did you experience any of this?
If I have, I haven't tuned into it. I swear to you, I really do live in a bubble. I'm pretty good about boundaries. I mean, there are times when I do feel all those things that you just said, but I know that I must have said yes to something that I shouldn't have. Like, it goes back to boundaries and not doing the things that I haven't set myself up for success is really right. The bottom line.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a play too, you know, learning what works for you, learning what doesn't work for you. You know, health is a journey. It's not a destination. And it's the same for self-care, right? Self-care is this journey. It's not like, oh, I'm going to get to self-care, you know, get an A+, and then that's the end of it. No, it's a work in progress.
Graduate.
Exactly. I graduated and now I can move on, right?
Yeah.
No, it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed? Like when it was funny because I hate talking about this. I got to heal this part of me. Pre-cancer, pre-diagnosis, I was interested in these things, right? I was like, oh, let's try the green smoothies. Let's try yoga. And, you know, I looked healthy on the outside. And people were like, you don't need to lose weight. You don't need to do this. You look great. Stop. Just sit on your ass all fucking day. You don't need to work out. But the funny thing was, is like, so I listened to that, right? And I grabbed that on. And then cancer was my permission to actually take care of myself, which is really messed up, right? Because my soul was already telling me, you need to do this, you need to do this. I just wasn't connected and listening to my body and knowing, oh my gosh, overwhelm is a symptom. That doesn't need to be a cultural reality. Like, let's talk about that. Anxiety, depression, and overwhelm. Because, you know, I always teeter-totter working with women, coaching women. I teeter-totter on this, like, I'm not a doctor. I get this. I know that I'm not a doctor, but there are doctors out there, like, what's her name? Kelly Brogan, Mind of Their Own, talking about depression and food and gut health and all of this. I'm like, guys, depression, anxiety, overwhelm, these are diseases. Like, these are symptoms to a deeper rooted problem. And you know, yeah, grab, great, awesome. Use medication as a temporary, but this is not sustainable. This is not going, we still need to learn. Like, this is an opportunity for self-reflection. So what is your perspective on that? When, I mean, a little bit of blue days and anxiety and all of this are like normal, but when it's becoming a chronic thing where you can't function, and you're like, I don't know how to take care of myself. What do you say about this?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest, my biggest comment on that is I was that person. I was the one that was doing the green smoothies. I was running off to yoga class and I was sitting meditating and I still got cancer. So my answer to that really is I feel like my intentions have changed and I'm not just drinking the green smoothie because that's what's on the to-do list. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking the green smoothie because I know how good I feel, but it's also like allowing myself to feel how good I feel when I drink the green smoothie.
Yes.
Right. And it's the same with like the yoga, like, and the exercise. It's intention of knowing I'm doing this for myself. I'm doing it to stay healthy, but I also reap the benefits. You know, it goes back to being able to celebrate the things that you feel really good at. And I think that's my biggest change is I really have changed my intentions as I go through the day doing the things that make me feel healthy. You know, it doesn't mean that I don't have ice cream and I don't have a drink. I do those, but I do them with intention as well, with consciousness. I'm having this glass of wine and I'm going to enjoy it.
I need to do this to function with my life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite exercises that I do with my clients is I ask them to eat something that's really, really pleasurable to them that they have been denying themselves. And for me personally, that's like a fresh donut, like from the bakery. Mm-hmm. But my directions are, don't eat a box donut. Don't eat a donut that's been sitting out. Yeah. Don't eat something off your kid's dish. I want you to make it the most desirable donut. I want you going to the best bakery. I want you to get the freshest donut, and I want you to eat it with intention. That is totally different than mindlessly eating food that's off the kid's plate as yeah. you're shoveling it into the garbage. No, take the time with intention of enjoying something and remembering what that pleasurable feeling is.
Yeah, this isn't related to food, but one thing that's coming up for me is running. So I know you're a runner. I actually didn't start running till after I was diagnosed, which is funny because before I always had the desire to run, but I told myself the story of I'm not a runner, right? I can't do this. And I thought, if I can go through chemo, like I can do anything, right? But not even, oh, I just had a baby, I can do anything. No, I can go through chemo, I can do anything. So I started running and I'm training again for another half, completely different mindset, because before it was, I can't do this. Like, and then I finished it. I'm like, oh yeah, now it's fine. I'm like, walk, run, do whatever you need to do. Just cross the finish line. But what I'm noticing is, okay, you print one of those like training modules offline mm-hmm. and you need to run a million miles, right? And so I'm training with these women and, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm in this group. And then all of a sudden I'm like, my body needs rest. Like, I know my body needs rest. So I might not run for 2 or 3 weeks and then I can start like with a 5K again. This is complete opposite of what the template tells me, what society tells me of how I need to do it. But the deeper knowing within my body is, you need to rest, Heather. You will be fine when you run this race. You're not going to get first, but you will be fine. And I know this. And so I say, not for me. I'm taking a few weeks off. And then they're like bitching at me because it's like, your miles. And I'm like, that's totally cool. That's your shit, not mine. I can see the projection now. Where before it would come from a place of like, I'm not good enough. I didn't do enough, blah, blah, blah. So can you talk a little bit about that, like body knowing and saying, this works for me, this doesn't work for me. Do what you need to do, but I'm going to do what I need to do.
Yeah. First of all, you know, it's not easy being a rebel.
Oh, it's fucking hard. Every day is like, I think of Brene Brown constantly showing up, like, you know, in the arena, just getting tomatoes thrown at me.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that took a long time for me to say, first of all, to say I'm a rebel. Because I don't think of myself like that, like yeah. a disruptor.
Yeah.
It's not easy doing something that's so different.
Yeah.
If I printed this schedule out and the schedule says I have to run 5 miles, who am I to disrupt that schedule? Who am I to rebel against the schedule and listen to what my body is telling me? That's hard. It's hard enough, one, printing out that schedule and saying, this is what I'm doing. And then hard enough again to say, I need to rest today so that I can do this on a much bigger level when I'm feeling better.
Right.
I think, you know, I took a little break from running and I've been doing CrossFit lately. And it's every day that I'm in there breaks that mental idea of what I think I can do. Mm. And, you know, some days the struggle is real, like, oh my God, I can't finish this. And then some days it's like, okay, look, I just did what I needed to do. So I totally get that. And, you know, I think it's really difficult for women to learn how to listen to their bodies and give themselves permission to, do what makes them feel like the best version of themselves. And for some women, like I said, that might be, you know, not doing laundry for the day. That might be eating a donut. That might be getting to your kid's pickup line early so you're not stressed while waiting in line. You know, it's almost like we need to give ourselves permission of how to feel. And if we give ourselves the permission of wanting to feel healthy and really getting the most out of every day, what do we need to do in order to get there? And yeah. Some days for me, that means the last few days, it's been beautiful here on the East Coast of in New York. And I've been really making this commitment to close my laptop up and get to the beach, because I know those cooler days are coming. But I know how much I get out of being at that beach for 1 hour by myself. That totally negates those things that were on the list, not getting done.
Mm-hmm. I love this conversation. I'm a CrossFitter too. And I think it just all depends on where you go and what you do. But it's really allowed me to feel more connected to my body. But just for me, I had this weird, my physical, and this, I think it's just because I didn't grow up like this. Because I wasn't the athlete, and this is just a story in my mind. But when I put my physical health number one, everything clicks into place. And I always say, the whole self-care is selfish. And I just want to redefine self-care. I want to change that word, because it has such a bad rap, right? But I think not taking care of yourself is a form of child abuse. I say this all the time, and people go, "Oh, Heather, you shouldn't have said that." And I go, "But listen, your child is going to have a little freak out of oh, must be nice. You're always gone to the gym, or you do this, mom. Well, why can't I do this? Or can I come for a run with you?" And I'm like, "Yes, but you got to keep up with me, because I'm not turning around all the time, because this is what I'm constantly doing, is stopping my run or turning around because someone else wants to come with me. I need my space," right? What is your perspective on that, of owning the I physically understand that when I'm doing XYZ, the natural side effect of what this gives back to the world, my family, my husband, money, time, energy, everything. But when they can't see it, but I can feel it, what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I mean, my kids are older now, so I've kind of been out of that space for so long. But I mean, I still get it. I'm going away to a retreat for 3 days.
And that is so selfish.
It's so selfish. And, my family looked at me like, "What do you mean you're going to be away? What about, what's the food situation?" It's okay, well, we'll figure out the food situation, and I'll be back before you know it. But, yeah, I mean, as a mom, I think being a mom is something that I really pride myself on, being a good mom. Mm-hmm. And, being away from my family for 3 days does not fit under being a good mom, right? Who am I to leave my family for 3 days? But then it's, okay, well, this is for something really important. And if it wasn't, then I wouldn't be doing it. And time will go by really fast. It's those other stories that we have to tell ourselves. And then I know I'm going to reap the rewards from it, so it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But I also know my kids and my husband all know how valuable my health is to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't shout from the rooftops about food. I don't shout from the rooftops about exercise and all those other things, but they all fall into line. They all of my kids and my husband and family and anybody else will all come over at their own time. My daughter has a diffuser at her college dorm with, her supplements. My son has his vitamin D and a thieves oil when he knows that something's coming on. They all might poo-poo it for most of their life, but then when, push comes to shove, they all know mom has the goods.
Yeah. And what I find beautiful about that too is, shifting that mindset of okay, I'm going to start working out, so you need to start working out. And it's if I just project that crap, I'm just mirroring, right? If I just put it back on myself and go, okay, you might be into pizza pockets and I'm into salads, but I'm just going to keep eating my salads and not go, I hope, but just become the best version of myself. Show what compassionate communication is, show what taking care of yourself is, show how to show up differently in diversity. It's really, that's what our children remember us by. It's not about, oh yeah, my mom, she was just constantly shoving supplements down my throat. We'd get in the biggest fights when I wasn't eating my cucumbers and drinking my water. It's about how do you want to be remembered?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, part of this goes back to the original part of that we were talking about cancer and about things that you've learned. One of the biggest things I've learned is being the lighthouse, right? I love that saying, the Anne Lamott saying about lighthouses don't go around chasing boats. They just go there standing tall, right? And that. Shedding their light. And that's what I've kind of taken on with so many things. I'm the light for my family. All I'm going to do is stand up there and do what I know that I need to do. And if it rubs off, it rubs off. That's great. And it has. And it's the same for any clients that I have that have cancer or any cancer groups that I talk to. I'm not there to help them, be cancer-free. All I'm there is sharing my story and telling them how I am cancer-free and what I did to maintain my health and feel empowered during a powerless situation. And that's it. I'm not taking on their stuff, but that took a long time. That, you know, wasn't overnight. That's like 6 years, and that's like 6 years worth of therapy too. That's not like all of a sudden here I am. No, this is a progress. It, you know, it's like an onion and there's different layers, and someone might say something to me and really trigger me and be like, oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. You know, it's an evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a constant learning. Every day we're opportunities for growth, right? Yeah. So like I said, we could talk forever and ever. So courageously rewriting your story, right? Saying, I'm just not going to fall victim to what is happening to me. I'm going to feel empowered and create change. And I love how we were talking about being the rebel, right? And going, oh, I guess I am a rebel. I need to come up with, you know, I need to own that, right? That I do always want to push against the status quo and allow people to think differently, right? And we talk about self-care and all of these fun things. What do you say to that woman? And I know you were just talking about being a lighthouse and being the person and not saying anything to anybody, but just showing up as is. You know, she's searching. She's read all the books. She feels really disempowered. And, you know, getting up in the morning and drinking her tea and writing in a journal or going to a yoga class, creating that space for herself. There's so much resistance coming back. So much resistance coming back. What do you say to her?
Maybe those aren't the things that are filling her up. Mm. You know, and I say this, and you even said it before, you know, my version of health isn't your version of health, isn't my neighbor's version of health. You know, my kid's version of health means being able to play a video game for 3 hours. That is not my version of health, but to him, that is. You know, to my daughter's version of health, it means being able to train as a contortionist for a few hours every day. That is so not on my radar. And for some women, it might mean not drinking soda for a day at a time.
Right.
You know, it's really, it's up to us as individuals to find out what are the things that light us up. Because life is really long. And it's too long not to be doing the things that you want to do and enjoy doing. Mm. And I feel really lucky that I have today to be able to do the things that I want to do. How am I going to make it great? Because I don't want to wake up 20 years from now and say, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Why didn't I go to the beach more often? Why didn't I hang out with my kids? Why didn't I talk to them more? Why didn't I cook more? Why wasn't I a better wife? I don't want that to happen. So I'm very, very conscious of living each day with intention of how I want to feel.
Thank you. So easy. So this easy. Life is so easy. Just like do whatever you want.
It is. Why do we have to make it complicated? It really is that simple. It is that simple. What do I want to do to feel connected with my kids? Be with them. Okay, then be with them.
And that is enough. It's not about having the perfect strategy when they have a meltdown. You know, I'm like, you're not screaming. You're not abusing. Like, you're just like saying, hey, I'm here in the moment and I don't know how to respond. I love you. That is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for you.
Yes. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. You have your book. Where can people find your book?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those great places. And it's available hardcover, softcover, audio, downloadable, you know, all of the great ways.
Yay. Thank you. And who's the target market for your book? Is it for people just recovering from breast cancer, all women?
It's for anybody. It's for anybody who has a friend who has breast cancer or an illness, family member, themselves. So the first part reads like a diary. It goes through every imaginable detail. And then the back, the second half is called My Stay Healthy Guide, which is filled with recipes, supplements, you know, things that I've changed in my life to be sure that I stay as healthy as possible.
I love it, Christine. Thank you so much for being here and courageously rewriting your story.
Well, thank you. I loved it. It was great.
I sometimes joke that I wish I taught people how to make green smoothies for a living, but I know I'm doing that because I'm trying to run away from what brings me joy. And what brings me joy is helping women and men, families in general, and children feel alive. And sometimes that journey to feeling alive is painful. It's emotionally uncomfortable, and it's not always easy. This is why I created the Aligned Life Quiz. So if you're tired of being tired, you want to stop just surviving, and you want to find out exactly where to focus and access realistic tools to confidently manage your energy, emotions, and impact, you can head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/life quiz. It takes you 2 minutes and it's going to show you, I call them internal leadership skills. Where do you need to focus your energy and attention for the quickest results? And also, which phase are you living in? So head on over to heatherchauvin.com/life quiz to take the Aligned Life Quiz right now. If you're ready to stop just surviving and you want to start thriving, but you don't know how to manage it all, go there. It will take you 2 minutes and it will change your life. I also, on the inside, show you which podcast episodes to listen to based on your quiz results. heatherchauvin.com/life, L-I-F-E, quiz.